Stay with these guys now. Coach them up. Keep them going.
The Pete Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Danny and Gallant.
That's exactly what you want.
Presented by Banner Bank on 710 ESPN Seattle.
It is Danny and Gallant. We are joined now by Coach Pete Carroll, who's with us. And Pete, I know the second half wasn't quite what you guys were hoping for, but congratulations on a big win.
Yeah, it was a good win for us. We really came out of the chutes flying, played really good in the first half, played as clean as we have, and we just didn't hold it. But give them some credit, too. It was a good, solid football game, a game we really wanted to get to finish that first half with the thought of finishing on a good note.
The first half is done. So what's the priority for the second half now that you've moved on past that first half?
Well, we got to get going now. This is the start of the finish. This is a big deal to us right now, and we have to get going in all phases. We got to make sure that we're finding our best. We've taken some time to work some things out and try to understand who our guys are and fit it together. We're in pretty good shape. I think we're still growing a little bit, but we're in position to really go. And this is what we hope for. And so all the teams we need to play, we're going to wind up playing, and all the matchups we're going to need to face to do something special this year are out there for us. So we have control of what's going on, and that's what we like.
Rashad Penny made a couple good runs yesterday. Do you feel like the game's starting to slow down for him? He's starting to get comfortable with the ball in his hands out there?
Mike, I don't feel that much different about Rashad. I think he looked really good yesterday. He really burst really well on a number of runs. But he just needed to get healthy and get back out. He's shown us those explosive plays and all. I'm glad to see him contribute in that way. And it was a really good 1-2 punch for those two guys yesterday. I thought we ran the ball really well and was really excited about just feeling the space that we were getting at the line of scrimmage, and they were making the most of it.
Pete, what did you feel like changed in the second half for you guys? Because some of it is, there were only two possessions that you guys had the ball in the third quarter, so things can get skewed pretty quickly because of that. But what did you see from your team after halftime?
Yeah, it was interesting to go back to the film to see, because it was really just the results were so much different. And it comes right back down to some real basics. The plays that made a difference in the feeling of the way the second half started were the running plays. They hadn't run the ball for but 20 yards or something in the first half, and we had been totally in command of that. And they came off in just a couple basic plays, the toss, full zone block, just a regular scheme, knocked us off the ball. They wound up scoring on the play, on the touchdown run. And it just goes right down to the basics of the basics. You got to play right at the line of scrimmage. We got reached on the line of scrimmage on a couple different players on the same play, which means you just stop playing good basic technique. Our guys were trying to get off the ball a little bit, maybe thinking they were trying to get after the pass rusher. When you charge off the football and guys reach block you, you get reached. And that's exactly what happened. So Bobby got cut off by the center that normally doesn't happen, and the play's busted. So it felt like they were running downhill at us. The screen worked really well for them. Okay, that was a good play. And they had another one that was a little bit of a factor, but it was really the running plays that gave them the momentum, I think, and made us feel like, what the heck's going on out here? We were still playing hard. Our guys were fighting and clawing and scratching, but we didn't play well. And so, as we say, the phrase we always use is to finish right is you got to do right longer than the other guys, and we weren't doing right. And so it's a real good lesson for us. I think it's a pretty classic game too, guys. It's 24-0, and they're in a throw-in mode, so we're thinking it too, and we just got out of whack a little bit, and it turns into one of those games where they get a ton of yards, but we really were in control of the game throughout, and so that's just kind of how it goes. And I don't mind being in that situation. Let's get hit again. That's kind of fun to be out there and see our guys play so well early.
You said in your post-game press conference that you guys need to work on transitioning from the first half to the second half.
No, I said that. We didn't do it well enough. We don't in general need to do that, but I might have made too big of a statement in the flush of the game. But we just need to come out and get going again. That's all. Sometimes you can also, let me just wrap up here for a sec. Sometimes on offense in the second half when you're ahead in the game, you like to think that, okay, let's come after and run the football and run some clock and, take control. Well, sometimes you come out and you go dead. We didn't convert on either one of the first two drives, and so now they're in command of the clock and the time, and they're throwing the ball over the place because they have to, and it turns into a two-minute drill for a whole half, and that's kind of what it wound up being. And so we have to avoid that from happening the best we can. We didn't, we weren't trying to curl up. We threw the ball on the first down. We went after them to do some stuff, but we got a penalty, you know, we screwed up, and it was just crappy the way we started the thing, and they were playing for their lives, you know, and they you could feel it. They did a really good job, and they took advantage of the opportunity to get back, and so we were just controlling the lead the rest of the game.
And I can imagine opening the second half, especially with how Chris was running in the first half, but also with how Russ was throwing to Tyler in the first half to determine whether or not you stick with one thing or the other in the quest to be balanced. What goes into that? Is it, hey, this guy's hot, we're going to keep going with him, or hey, we're going to try to throw somebody off? There's numbers
of ways, you know, of conversations are going, but basically we want to come back and do the things we were doing well and stay with it, take advantage of the fact that we did well. You notice that the play passes were really effective in the second half. Once we got to them, we missed our shots in the first two drives, but once we got to them, because we had run the ball so well, Tyler's running free in the secondary, we got all kinds of spacing back there, and the play action protections were really formidable. And so that's we just wanted to just keep playing football. And you get down the fourth quarter, then now you're going to hammer it, and you're going to try to, you know, do the 4-minute drill as far out as you can if you're available. And you know, 10-12 minutes in the fourth quarter, you're going to run the heck out of it, and we love to do that. There's nothing more fun than doing that and killing the clock and winning the game that way.
Marquise Blair had a great game. 11 tackles, a forced fumble. What are you seeing out of that young fella back there,
Mike? You see it? No, he sparks, you know, he's got hits in him. He had three or four big hits again. He missed a couple tackles, you know, going for stuff, which, you know, will work to clean up and all that. But you surely don't want to take his nature away. He goes for it. And he, in every game he's played in, there have been plays like that. And he's knocking the fire out of the receivers, you know, when they're catching the ball downfield. So he looks – it's exciting to see him out there. And we're going to, you know, keep working with him.
He reminds me – I'm sorry, Danny. He reminds me of of Diggs. They both have that same. I watched film on Diggs, and Diggs comes down, man. He's fiery, and I felt like maybe that's what the defense was missing a little bit. So to see Marquise do that, and I'm so excited to see what him and Diggs look like if they do get a chance to play together.
Well, we'll see. This might be the week. We were healing up Quandre. He wasn't quite healed from injuries from a couple weeks back, so this was a good week to get him rested. We'll see what happens if he can get back this week. I don't know. But we are going to take a look at him, in particular because of his style of play. You saw it, Mike. He's fun to watch now. He is flying and hitting and knocking people all over the place. And you can see that Marquise is like that as well. And so maybe there's a little spark there that those guys can get. We can do some different packages and mix some guys in there and put together a pretty good group back there.
We've gotten a chance to see Marquise Blair a little bit now. And you mentioned the hits he had. That first hit he put on Ridley, where Calvin kind of makes a catch and he kind of curls up. It was interesting to watch it on replay because you can see Marquise kind of turn his head to keep his head out of the hit.
Yeah.
Is that an example of what you guys have been coaching
him toward? Yeah, Danny. That's getting the hit out of the hits. You know, we're trying to shoulder hit on everything. And so in the old days, you would say a guy was turning his head away from the hit, you know. That's what you have to do now. And so I thought that was a really good illustration, and I heard that the announcers had said, you know, it was a good, clean hit. It was, and it's hard for the officials to decipher that in the speed of the game sometimes, you know, but we're definitely working in that direction. It does affect our tackling sometimes too, particularly for new. If you watch him, he's really working at the tackling technique and trying, you know, shoulder tackle. When he used to be he hit you right in the forehead, you know, that was what kind of kid he was, you know, just a ferocious hitter. And guys have to learn the new way, and that's what we're, you know, constantly after.
We are talking to the coach here, and in the first half, we saw two plays. I don't want to say I felt bad for Atlanta's cornerback because that wasn't the case, but there were two cases where Tyler Lockett, there was almost perfect coverage on him, and it was beat by a better throw and catch. And the second one, I thought we'd play the clip for you right here because it really was something else that Tyler was able to do.
Here comes the blitz. Russell has time, throws over the top. One-handed catch! Are you kidding me, Tyler Lockett? How did you make that reception inside the 10? Again, tight coverage, and Lockett finds a way to make the catch for 19 and a first down. Holy catfish. I don't know how he hung on to the ball with one hand.
Way to go, Raves. Yeah. Yeah, he just keeps doing it, you know, and the catch going across the field the other way, guys all over him, and he finds a way to, you know, to catch it over his shoulder. He's just a marvelous player. You know, I don't even know. I've been asked a number of times now. I don't know what accolades you can throw at him. He's just he's just is doing everything so beautifully, and he's just so gifted. And Russ is totally, you know, connected to him. We missed him one time. I don't know how we never missed that, the crossing routes, and he missed him one time on a good chance. I think we would have been called back anyway, but it was a really nice look too. So those guys are firing. It's really good.
Is there any other receiver that you've coached over the course of your career that's even remotely comparable to what Lockett can do, especially as a smaller guy in traffic?
Well, yeah, Doug was pretty darn good. Now, you know, they're different. They're different in their way. And Mike, you might appreciate the way, you know, Lock will catch the ball, you know, Cradle will catch the ball a lot more than a lot of receivers do. But Doug could make spectacular catches. It seems like there's almost a special way that he's been making some plays lately, where he continues to use his body. There's a little body, but he uses his body perfectly, positioning himself on catches, and that it's kind of his own style. I think he has a different style than Doug. Doug made those same marvelous catches when you just couldn't imagine the guy making a play and he'd come up with it. So they're different, but yet the results are pretty much the same.
Tyler Lockett makes a living on those crossing routes. Are you surprised that he's not getting more bracketing or more press off the line? Because he seems to always go across the middle of the field and make the catch.
Well, he has, but when they do, we have things we want to go get him with. You know, so we're ready for, you know, for teams that want to do that. There's ways to attack him, because you have to really give up something to take a guy away like that. And there's a really fast guy on the other side that will run huge post routes if they want to take their safety out of the middle that we love throwing to.
Pete, we've seen your defense, and you guys have tried a number of different people. We saw Cody Barton get a little bit of time yesterday. We've seen Jadeveon Clowney get worked in. Ziggy Ansah came back from the injury. What's your hope for the defense this second half of the season?
Yeah, we need to continue to work to develop our pressure on the quarterback. We pressured quite a bit yesterday when we didn't get home, and the ball came out really quick on us. And there's some complementary parts of that. We need to cover tighter when we're pressuring and be a little more aggressive and take a few more chances in that regard. But we need the effect on the quarterback. That's what's going to be crucial down the stretch for us to cause problems. And you can do that in coverage, and you can do that in your four-man rushes, and you can do it in your pressures. You know, we have to do a little bit of everything and just bring that part of our game up. For the most part, the efficiency of the quarterbacks has not been that big a deal. We've done a nice job numbers-wise. They got enough yards yesterday where the numbers aren't up. But, you know, if we can keep these guys under control, that's what we like doing, and keep stopping the running game. And we were able to do that for the most part.
Shaquille Griffin continues to have what looks like a breakout season. Yeah. His ability to drive on the ball really seems like
I think
it's
that was his best game yesterday. I thought he clearly challenged every chance that he got. We backed him off on a couple things late in the game. Other than that, he was on everything. And it's just a continuation, really, of what he's been doing. He continues to make plays, and he's been very, very aggressive and really accurate with his hand placement and knocking balls down, and also really doing a nice job with his body to not get in the penalty situations. He even drew a foul yesterday, which was great. He's playing great ball.
Do you expect Trey Flowers to be back this coming week?
We think so, but he's got to get through the week and show us. He practiced, again, I said this, he practiced last week, but wasn't able to hit anything with confidence, and so we'll need to see how that takes place this week. His legs are good. He's ready to go. He'll be fresh and all that. So I thought that Akeem did okay back there and handled himself pretty well. Nico Thorpe got a few snaps too, you know, so they did all right in substituting in, but we'd like to get Trey back.
Saw Clowney line up in a two-point, a three-point, five-tag, middle of the formation.
We're
he's dropping
him
down to coverage. How fun is it scheming for a guy like that?
Yeah, he's really a marvelous football player. You can see he's just a problem. Every game he does stuff, you know, and continues to be a real factor. Just the sack numbers haven't been there, but his pressures are certainly there, and his factor is there in the running game too, you know. And you saw him maybe play in the flat, you know, tackle the guy out of bounds, 2 yard gain or whatever it was. He's doing a lot of good stuff.
And teams are clearly game planning to stop him. I mean, he's been drawing, I think, the most double blocks in the entire league thus far. And you know, going back to some things that we've discussed earlier, you know, you mentioned that the Falcons are getting the ball out quickly, and a couple of weeks ago, you said the same thing about the Cleveland Browns. Is that a scheme that you feel you're going to see a lot more of over the rest of the season?
We always do. We have for years, because we play a lot of zone. You know, when people want to get the ball out, we've always had a rush that people are concerned about, so the ball comes out. That's not really the worst thing that happens. You know, as long as we can control them, they don't let them catch and run with the ball. The other day, we had too many explosive plays with guys catching the ball, coming across the field and getting extra yardage on us. We had too many explosives in general. I think there was, you know, we had two in the running game, and there was a bunch of them in the passing game. That's usually something we're pretty good at. we have to be good at that. If we're letting them catch the football and run with the ball, then we're not. It's not working out like we want to. So, but I got to remind you that we were in the 2-minute mode for the half, you know, and so that's what happens when you get way ahead. And you'll notice a lot of teams that are winning and getting out early. That's they're going to have pass stats that are going to be like that, and you're going to have rush stats that are going to be inverted, and they're going to be low too, you know, because the teams don't spend the time running the football. So that's kind of the formula. It doesn't you don't want it to be that way because it doesn't feel good. But as long as we're controlling the game, we're okay. Turnovers make a big deal, a big difference there too.
Yeah, I was surprised to look this up. There's only been 7 times that you've had an opposing quarterback throw for 400 yards against Seattle since you've been there. You guys are 7-0 in those games, and I know that's not, hey, we'd like to
Super
allow
too,
somebody
I
to throw.
I think in the Super Bowl, we threw for 400, you know. You can't imagine how that could have happened, but that's not something, that stat is not a stat that tells you the story.
Yeah, I think it's important to mention Bobby Wagner because he became the franchise's all-time leading tackler, and it's just his 8th season here. I guess I'll ask you because we don't take him for granted. We know how great he is. What stands out about him? What does he do that's exceptional?
His consistency in all phases of how he presents himself, his work habits, his ethic, his constant. You know, focus on what's going on, what's at hand. His leadership in that regard is just impeccable. I mean, it's just so obvious and so good. And that's this number that he's created, you know, the stat that he's got in 8 years' time. Nobody's ever going to get close to this number again. By the time he's done playing, he's gonna be so far out there, nobody will ever touch it. But that's based on the fact that he's always there. He's always ready. He's a great ball player and a fantastic leader and member on your club.
There's a play on the goal line where DK's touchdown, where the defense wasn't ready. Russell hurried him throwing the ball. Was that DK's route, or was that just a side adjustment? Russell just got it out. DK turned around, just made a play.
It was a stick route that he just adjusted because there was nobody there. He just turned in, you know. On a stick route, he has the opportunity. It depends on man and zone and all those kinds of things, how he runs it. And that one, there was just a big void, so he just turned, and which is like it's almost like a hot adjustment. Yeah. That was a really nicely executed a hurry up by Russ and by Shoddy. Really, Shoddy gave him the word on that one, and they worked it out beautifully.
Any update on Justin Britt and how much did he mean to this offense?
I don't have any update this morning, but he has been a great factor in our offense for a long time. He's been such a great communicator and such a constant factor that we'll really miss him. You know, I like to say that we don't ever replace that guy. You know, the guy that's been such a big aspect of our team for so long. You don't replace it. Somebody else takes their shot at it, you know. And so I don't know. It sounds like he's got an ACL deal that's going to, you know, call for surgery and all that. We'll find out in the next couple of days.
I saw
Joey Hunt's the guy that's behind him in the depth chart. He's someone who has some experience for you, some playing time for you.
Yeah, we have a lot of confidence in Joey. He has always been there. He's always been the smartest guy in the group. He's got a great ability to control what's going on up there, so you don't lose a trick in that regard. He's a totally different package. You know, he's much smaller than Britt. He's still around 300 pounds, but he's a very, very stout, strong player. Plays with great leverage. He's got great hands. He's a really good pass protector. He is by far the winningest pass pro guy in our drills forever. He always has been. We're fortunate to have Joey coming off the bench, and Joey has been there the whole time. He has been such a great team member. He's always looked for his opportunities. When he's had them, he's jumped in. But this is a big deal for him, and we're really excited for him to take over the spot.
Obviously, with Disley going down, Hollister played more of a factor. Luke Wilson is going to get more run. I saw George Fant release for a route. Are we going to see a little bit more of that?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're going to see George. George's got some right. He's got a little route tree now.
Yeah.
He's got this kind of Western Kentucky kind of version of a route tree, but he's got one.
Sorry, Danny. Look, Ziggy Ansah's shaking off the cobwebs a little bit, and same thing with Jaron Reed coming back from suspension. How do you feel about their contributions to the pass rush, and how close are they to where you would like them to
be? They have not been as effective as they will be. Ziggy barely practiced last week. He really kind of surprised us that he was able to play as much as he did coming off a high ankle sprain that he handled very well to get that done. He'll be closer to his best I think he came out okay. Jay Reid, 2 weeks in, he needs to keep going and keep growing and all that. He's a fantastic football player. Just hasn't got clean yet, but he will. And so that's why I say we're still coming. And it's not a bad thing, you know, to have a chance to continue to get better as we're going into the second half here. Counting on it. We'll see that come true, I hope.
That question about improvement, Pete, and you reached the halfway point. What have the best teams that you've coached, what have they done over the course of the second half?
Yeah, the young guys have stepped up more. The young guys have in the early parts of the season have been involved, and then when you get to the second half of the season, they play as regulars. That helps you in a couple different ways. One, of course, their contribution is added, but also their ability to take plays away from other guys to keep them fresher. It was exactly the illustration of Cody Barton coming in. You know, he gets KJ a chance to get a break. And if we can continue to do that, we can keep guys fresher through the course of the finish of the season, and so that you're just better equipped. More guys available, depth chart is in good shape, but plus your legs are better, you know, and so that all fits together. I don't know, I can't specifically tell you if that's the way it's been. It seems like it's been that way for years, and I mean, I go all the way back to our college days. We played freshmen, and by the middle of the year, they were no longer freshmen, and that made a difference for all facets of your game, and so I thought yesterday's illustration of our special teams unit was just extraordinarily on it. Michael kicked the ball beautifully, his best game by far. Jay Meyer, you know, did his thing, but the coverage teams were so consistent and so sharp. That's just a really, really big statement here. Okay, that's the halfway point. Here's where we are. Best game we've played. So that's a big statement for us moving forward. We got to capture that and keep it going.
Did you give a wish list to John for the trade deadline tomorrow?
Well, we're just open. We're wide open to what's going on, you know, and there's conversations and some talk and all that stuff. It's a lot of yapping, and not very many things will happen. But we are attempting, as always, to be involved with everything that's going on just so we know what's happening.
Did you expect this much of production out of DK this year?
I always say I hoped, you know, I hoped he would fit in. I had no idea he would be, it would come to him so easily. I had no idea that he would just be able to fit right in. You know, so often the young guys, they come from other places and they got to learn their ball and they got to get all the discipline stuff about the routes and the concepts and the splits and everything that takes place. He hasn't had a problem. So he's been able to express his ability. I think he's just getting warmed up. We haven't used him nearly as much as we hope to, because there's so many good things he can do. The double move he did yesterday, you had to love that one. No, he just killed him, you know. And unfortunately, he caught the ball and it hit the ground. He couldn't hang on to it. It was Russ had a little bit of a, you know, had to put it out there because of the rush, and it made it hard. But it would have made it was a better play. It would have been a beautiful play to execute off the whole thing. But he came back, caught a couple touchdowns, did a really good job, and I think he's going to continue to really be a factor.
You got to be really feeling good about the fact that he keeps on getting lost in the red zone. Like, the defenders can't find where he is.
Well, we got him on the crossers for sure. I mean, they couldn't find him at all. Now, you're right. I hope we can keep doing that. The double move, that was a great route by him, and he got himself open. The other one's running across the field, and all of a sudden they don't have you. So that's a little difference in those two. But really, really nice job. It was a good job for him adapting. As you asked about the stick route that he had, you know, he did the right thing. He turned to the open area. Russ felt it, and it was just like stealing. So it was good.
We saw Dwayne Brown also return after missing the past couple games. He came out in the third quarter, it looked like, and then maybe came back in without a brace on. How did he come out of the game?
He came out fine from what we heard last night. Everything worked out great. We'll see how he is today and get to Wednesday. We had a chance. We were up 24-0. We were fortunate to get him to play. If we could give him a break, we would give him a break. So that's just like we did. You saw Mike Potty came out in the game too. We rested some guys a bit just to try to use other guys and you know, just involve more people in the game plan.
Last thing for you, Pete, not to try and intrude on what you'll say to the team at the meeting, but what's just in general your message to the team today as they come back to work?
Well, we accomplished what we wanted to here in the final stretch of the first half. You know, we wanted to get these wins and get out there and be in a good position going into the second half. I wanted to see us finish on the road again. I would like to comment that our guys have really captured the mentality to get ready to play on the road. And I'm so fired up about that because that's so valuable for us. And it's somewhat historic, you know, all the years it's taken to get four wins on the road in a row. But more of that, they're all, you know, three of the four were those early games and way out there across the country, the whole thing, you know, and our guys just responded really well. That's a big deal. So we'll talk about that We'll talk about the obvious story about it ain't how you start, you know, it's how you finish, you know. And fortunately, we held it together and had a couple good onside kicks executions and got out of there, you know, in that game. But it's so clear that you have to continue to do the little things right if you want to continue to play well, and it can get away from you. You know, the distraction, any distraction can mess with your performance. And if it's the distraction, well, now they're going to throw the ball a lot, so I'm going to rush the passer. Or now I'm going to take a shot at running this play that I've never run before, you know. Those kinds of things get in the way of the fundamental focus that it takes to execute at a really high level. It was a great lesson for us.
Well,
so that'll be the essence of it.
Yeah, 6-2, and we're sure looking forward to how this season finishes up, because that is what matters. Pete, thanks so much for your time.
All right, guys. All right, take it easy. See ya.